This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The Hawk's Nest Tunnel under Golly Mountain runs between Anstead and Golly Bridge and carries water used to produce hydroelectric energy. But you may not know its grim history.
A demographer has put the number of potential workers who have died roughly around 764, which would make the Hawk's Nest Tunnel disaster one of the worst disasters in U.S. history.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Eligible voters can now apply for absentee ballots for November's general election. Jack Walker has more.
Applications for absentee voting in West Virginia open Tuesday and run until October 30. They must be submitted to a voter's county clerk through mail, email, fax, or hand delivery. Residents here can only participate in absentee voting if they meet specific conditions. If their age or medical circumstances prevent them from visiting a polling location, for example, or if they're temporarily living outside of their home county, election officials will begin mailing ballots to voters who qualify September 20. Election day this year is November 5. For more information on absentee voting in West Virginia and how to apply, visit our website at wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
The West Virginia native who hosted NBC's Hollywood Squares has died. Peter Marshall died in Los Angeles Thursday of kidney failure at age 98, according to the Associated Press. Marshall was born in Clarksburg and grew up in Huntington. The game show ran 5,000 episodes from 1966 to 1981 and won 4 Daytime Emmy Awards. He was also a Broadway and film actor, starring in stage shows such as Bye Bye Birdie, The Music Man, and Anything Goes. Marshall became a member of the West Virginia Music Hall of Fame in 2013. He became a household name on Hollywood Squares, where he played the straight man to comedians like Paul Lynn, Jonathan Winters, and Joan Rivers. Raymond Thompson Jr.'s new book, Appalachian Ghost, a photographic reimagining of the Hawk's Nest Tunnel disaster, explores an industrial disaster that killed more than 700 men, most of them African American. Inside Appalachia's Mason Adams spoke with Thompson about the disaster and the book.
For those unfamiliar, can you describe Hawk's Nest Tunnel and what happened there?
Yeah, so in Anstead, West Virginia in the 1930s, there was a construction project to divert the New River. And in that project, they were building a dam to divert the river. And they also were building a powerhouse roughly 3.5 miles downstream. And they also were building a tunnel to connect the dam and a powerhouse. And to do that, they needed to dig through a mountainside, essentially. And while they were digging through the mountainside, they came across a portion of silica rock. And because they were using improper drilling techniques, they were using dry drills on rock filled with silica. It kicked up a lot of silica dust. And many of the men working in the tunnel would have contracted silicosis. And silicosis, once it gets into your lungs, pretty much just destroys your lungs and you slowly suffocate. So it's thought that roughly there are like 5,000 workers in total who worked on the project, and roughly 3,000 of those workers are actually working underground and in the tunnel. A demographer has put the number of potential workers who have died roughly around 764 people, which would make the Hawk's Nest Tunnel disaster one of the worst disasters in U.S. history.
How did you first become aware of the story of these workers who excavated Hawk's Nest Tunnel?
Well, I was working at West Virginia University for their alumni magazine, and we would often get books from West Virginia University Press to sort of review. And my coworker brought me a copy of Merle Rukeyser's The Book of the Dead with this intro essay by Catherine Vinova Moore. And she brought this to me. It's like, you'd like this. And I got to it and began to read it. And I was super fascinated by this story. And one thing I forgot to add earlier was that of those 3,000 workers, roughly 2/3 of the men who worked in the tunnel were African American. So when I got this book from my coworker, I was reading Catherine's essay. I was reading Marwark Hires' work, which is really fascinating. It's a book of poetry, but I always sort of think of Marwark Hires as like a journalist poet. She went into the field and sort of reported like a reporter would for a typical written piece. But instead of just producing articles, she produced this book of poetry about what happened in the place. That combined with Catherine Venablemore's really beautiful essay about navigating the space just captured my imagination. And it probably was roughly maybe a year and a half after that, or a year, that I actually got to meet Catherine and get a tour of Hawk's Nest locations, which really, really hooked me to this story. I knew that I wanted to do something to talk about what happened in this space.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. This huge industrial disaster, which is what that is when you look at it from this distance, is forgotten in a lot of circles. But you can see this chain of how the memory has been kept alive from Muriel Rukeyser collecting poems about some of the tragedy's victims and how it's affecting the families in the Book of the Dead, to Catherine Venablemore's further work going there and sort of matching the poems to the area, to now your photography. How does that feel to kind of build on that chain of work in giving more attention to this tragedy that's been forgotten by so many people?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I was totally building on like the people who came before me in this work. And with my role, I was super fascinated by the visual archive that was surrounding Hawk's Nest. I found that when I began just to do just a little bit of research into like what visually existed around Hawk's Nest, I oftentimes I couldn't find African Americans represented in stories that were out there. And I was super curious, like, where are they in these spaces? But, you know, in the visual archive itself, you can see little glimpses, little threads of their existence in the space. And I knew that I need to start from this point, right? But also at the same time, this is a beautiful thing about storytelling. This is a beautiful thing about photography, about art, about journalism, that it's all cumulative. Like, we're all building on each other. None of us exist in vacuums. Like, our work is reference with somebody else, and then we do a thing. And you know, it's, I always like to say, like, it takes more than one brick to build a house or wall, you know. And I feel like my project is one brick, along with Catherine's brick, along with Marwark Hires' brick, and hopefully many others after me who might take up the story. The book itself is, I call it like a speculative archive, but like a speculative visual archive. It's this combination of images that I've made, so like images that I've constructed. Images that I just found through direct observation of looking at the landscape around Hawk's Nest. It's filled with archival images from the archive, and it's filled with writing, a couple poems, and a lot of historical details about the Hawk's Nest Tunnel. It almost feels like a collage experience in some ways, but I feel like this is another way for us to sort of open up what's possible in our understanding of history, understanding of West Virginia, and understanding of Appalachia.
To hear the rest of that story and more, listen to Inside Appalachia, Sunday mornings at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Appalachian Ghost, a photographic reimagining of the Hawk's Nest Tunnel disaster, is available from the University of Kentucky Press. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:53. Rain and thunderstorms today, highs in the 70s and 80s. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms tonight, tomorrow, and into Sunday. Daytime highs in the 70s and 80s, overnight lows in the 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by Festival Charleston, presenting Three Things at 815 Court Street, Wednesday, August 21st at 7 p.m., featuring Sarah Rudy, John Nelson, and Bishop Baylor, a.k.a. Michael Young. FestivalCharleston.com. This week's encore broadcast of Mountain Stage features Jamgrass pioneer Vince Herman and his band performing the song Lost Lover's Eyes. It comes from his 2022 solo album Enjoy the Ride and was performed at West Virginia University's Kennedy Creative Arts Center.
Got off work on Saturday night, headed on down to the Gator Bite. Had a couple beers, doing all right, taking it all in. She walked in, sat right down beside me. Tell me if it could be that I've seen you before. We went spinning around the dance floor. Just like we were made for, holding each other tight. We went flying through the night skies, higher than a bird flies, much to my surprise. I was looking in a long lost lover's eyes. We had nothing to forget. No hard feelings, no regrets, no history at all. Well, a man was smoking and it smelled like pot. A Thunderbird was in a parking lot. I said, let's go. He said, why not? Let the games begin. We went spinning around the dance floor. Of the time. We went flying through the night skies, higher than a bird flies, much to my surprise. I was looking in a long lost lover's eyes.
Was Vince Herman performing Lost Lover's Eyes on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, WVPublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.